checking on patients 4 hours after the drug had been administered, the researchers saw something unexpected. "To our surprise," Charney says, "the patients started saying they were better. They were better in a few hours." This was unheard of. Antidepressants are known for taking weeks or months to work, and about a third of patients aren't sufficiently helped by the drugs. "We were shocked," says Crystal, who now chairs the Yale Psychiatry Department. "We didn't submit the results for publication for several years." When Charney and Crystal did publish their findings in 2000, they attracted almost no notice. Perhaps that was because the trial was so small and the results were almost too good to be true. Or maybe it was ketamine's reputation as an illicit drug. Or the side effects, which have always been problematic. Ketamine can cause patients to disassociate, meaning they enter a state in which they feel as if their mind and body aren't connected. But probably none of these factors mattered as much as the bald economic reality. The pharmaceutical industry is not in the business of spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do large-scale studies of an old cheap drug like ketamine. Originally developed as a safer alternative to the anesthetic fencilsildine, better known as PCP, or angel dust, ketamine has been approved since 1970. There's rarely profit in developing a medication that's been off a patent for a long time, even if scientists find an entirely new use for it. Somehow, even with all of his baggage, research into ketamine inched forward. The small study that almost wasn't published has now been cited more than 2,000 times. Suicide is described in medicine as resulting from a range of mental disorders and hardships, a tragedy with many possible roots. Conditions such as severe depression, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia are known risk factors. Childhood trauma or abuse may also be a contributor, and there may be genetic risk factors as well.